The business of recorded sound has changed dramatically since reel-to-reel audio tape came on the scene in the late 1940s. Back then, it revolutionized broadcasting and revitalized the recording industry. Today, reel-to-reel tape is dying. Only three companies worldwide still make recorders, and only one firm is left making blank tape. From New York, NPR's Rick Carr reports.
In a dimly lit room in a sprawling loft in Queens, Matt Marinelli is lovingly threading a tape over the delicate heads of his two-decade-old Ampex 1200 reel-to-reel deck. Marinelli runs an audio consulting company called Coral Sound. He shares the loft with his friend Andrew Roberts, whose firm Purple Audio makes high-end studio equipment. Roberts says part of the attraction of these old machines is in their look. Gleaming, perfectly machined metal parts, and the strange waltz they do when the tape is rolling.
3M and Ampex, I think, had the best aesthetic to it.
I think to some degree, and for some people especially, there is a kind of nostalgia and romance to it.
Matt Marinelli says he and other fans of the analog recording medium appreciate the machine's sonic characteristics much more, though. Analog's fans say tape sounds warmer than newer digital recording technology, that it's more musical, so to speak. Many artists still prefer the sound of tape. Neil Young, for example, Bruce Springsteen, producer Steve Albini, and Sandy Pearlman, an engineer and producer perhaps best known for his work with heavy metal pioneers Blue Oyster Cult. Sandy Pearlman says the quality of tape machines started to decline in the 1980s after many of the firms that built them were absorbed into conglomerates.
A lot of these companies were boutique companies that could pretty much make their own decisions and do things that didn't necessarily have huge payoffs. Once they began to be absorbed, the insane quest for ultimate quality was no longer a sufficiently good reason to keep on improving the breed.
The personal computer exacerbated the decline, Pearlman says. By the mid-1990s, a moderately powerful PC could do many of the things a tape deck could for about a quarter the cost. An artist no longer needed to buy $200 reels of professional-grade 2-inch tape.
Most of the work that was being done in recording studios began to migrate much more quickly than people anticipated into a semi-pro basement garage or, you know, other home studio environment. And why not?
While the new studio's results didn't sound as brilliant as those coming out of tape-based professional studios, they sounded good enough. Even pro studios abandoned their decks for hard drives, and most of the firms that had made those beautiful old tape machines left the business, according to Coral Sound's Matt Marinelli.
It doesn't make sense to manufacture equipment this way anymore. It's very expensive. Tape machines have a lot of moving parts, for instance. Nobody who wants to make a profit making audio gear anymore, meaning the big companies, is going to mass produce stuff this way.
Almost nobody is. Not one firm worldwide is regularly building new studio multi-track analog tape decks. Only three firms still make the smaller machines used by radio broadcasters and on film shoots. Sales of blank tape have collapsed. Steve Smith is director of marketing for Opelika, Alabama-based Quantigy, which used to be called Ampex.
The peak year, at least for our company, and it was probably around the early 90s, we produced on average about 250,000 reels of 2-inch tape. This year we'll produce about 25,000 reels.
Bear in mind that at the beginning of that 90% decline, Ampex was splitting the market with two competitors. Now Quantigy is the last company standing. Steve Smith says his firm is committed to staying in the reel-to-reel tape business. It can afford to run its factory part-time as needed. But if the market declines much further, he says he can't be sure that Quantigy's suppliers would remain committed. The firms that manufacture empty reels, for instance, or the ones that make the magnetic oxide coating that actually captures the recording.
If it gets small enough where the people making oxide just can't make it because they make tons at a time. They can't make a teaspoonful, you know. So.
The twilight of tape has been worrying librarians, historians, and archivists for years. Until recently, tape has been the preferred medium for archiving sound. But it was imperfect, according to Sam Brolowski, head of the Library of Congress's recorded sound section.
We always knew that the tape was going to eventually deteriorate. We'd have to recopy the tape.
And every time you copy it, of course, you lose a little bit of quality.
And that's the great difference between analog and digital preservation. Analog preservation is something akin to carbon paper, where, you know, each generation or each layer under your master was a little fainter In the case of analog sound, each copy had a little more noise, a little more background hiss.
The Library of Congress made its transition to digital archiving just this year, Brilowski says. Several full-time employees do nothing but take the tens of thousands of reels in the collection one by one, thread them across the heads of tape decks, and re-record the sound onto computer hard drives. But millions of tapes in private collections, at radio stations, in record company archives, and in the closets of private homes may never get that treatment. The good news is that tape decks are cheaper than ever if you're willing to buy one with some miles on it. The loft where Matt Marinelli and Andrew Roberts work is literally littered with decks.
Over here is a Ampex MR70 that's been rebuilt. Another 56. Another 56. 56. There are two 56s in the laundry room.
In the middle of the room, undergoing a thorough rehab, there's a studio machine that was made by the Japanese firm Otari in the 1980s. Back then, Robert says, it might have been a studio's most expensive piece of gear.
$20,000-$30,000 new?
They used to sell for $12,000 or $15,000, like, you know, 7-8 years ago.
And now?
$2,500, $3,000.
Marinelli and Roberts have a long list of clients who turn to them for old gear. At that price, it's worth it to own a reel-to-reel machine just for its sound. So they're not worried that tape will disappear completely, at least not for a while. Meanwhile, reel-to-reel's cousin, the cassette, is disappearing. Several sources predict that the once ubiquitous medium will go the way of the 8-track within 5 years. Rick Carr, NPR News, New York.